Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for coming. We continue to learn Adar Bet, Lilui Nishmat Tanchum Ben Chaim, Yosef Ben Yitzchak, Asher Anshel Ben Shraga Faivu, in memory of Yitzchak Ben Nachman, and Lilui Nishmat, Lerfuas Esther Dania Bat Sara, Chav Yochel Adas Bat Sara. Also today is sponsored by Chana Sara in gratitude to Hashem for the safe return from Aza of her son Sharia Chaim Uriel. Baruch Hashem. Okay, on the pages that we're basically moving towards the end of this ma'amar, I'm going to say something really gorgeous today. On the pages that I gave you, it's Kuf Nun Vav, but in the Sfarim that you have, you have to go a few pages forward to the word, to the title Chen Shel Yeled VeTiviut. Kuf Nun? Okay, yeah, so I was looking ahead and I realized we should go over here and try to take it from here. So I want to ask you all a question, and I want you to think of it really strongly before we start learning inside. I'm trying to figure out the right ways to phrase this question. It's a very important one for the whole ma'amar that we're doing, and specifically for today's shiur. When you if you close your eyes and you look back at any moment of you in the last year, is there any moment of you in the last year that you're in awe of, or are like so happy when you picture yourself in any certain experience or situation in the last year? Nobody? So it's a weird question, right? In this year, I would hope by now people would raise, in our learning, I would hope that by now, if someone actually had you don't have to describe it. You don't have to describe it. But most people probably, it's very hard. Now, if I now go like this, if I ask you, tell me something. When you close your eyes and you imagine yourself as a child at a certain point, are you envious of that picture, of that imagery, of what you remember as a kid? Like a certain living in the moment, a certain chofshiyut, right? As a child, much easier, right? Okay, so what's going on? Why is it like that? And it's probably true, what we just said right now is probably true across the board. It's not just this room. I think it's like this probably everywhere. Probably everywhere. Do you have pages from somewhere? Huh? Okay. So we're gonna understand why it's like that. That when we close our eyes and we get any glimpse of ourselves in the last year. Now I could have said 5 years probably also, but I'm just going last year or 6 months. And I'm asking you, do you have any type of kin'ah, like kin'at sofrim, like a good, an envious feeling towards, oh, wow, that person, that moment, what it was like to live like that? It's something that becomes less and less the older we get. The older we get, and it has everything to do with everything we've been learning in this ma'amar. Ma'amar, this is still ma'amar shalom of Rav Kluger. So look inside, and where it says, Chen shel yeled v'tiviut. He points out the obvious, but it's just, I guess, both painful and eye-opening when we think about it like this. Simchat chaim amitit shel yeled. Real simchas chaim of a child. Novat mikach shehayeled chai et amitziut b'tiviut ubechibur shalem. בלי להיות לעצמו אדם שלישי, המציץ מחוץ לו, הוא בוחן, הוא פוסל. What is this about the child's experience of life? The child's experience of life, he lives it, she lives it naturally, and with complete connection, without being a third party that's observing and testing and puzzling and judging and analyzing and speculating, the child is living in the moment. Most of our experiences later in life are always like he's been explaining to us. We live them, we go through them from the outside, looking in, wondering what I look like, wondering if this is real, wondering if I could test the person that's providing the experience for me, wondering how long is this going to last, all these things. However, the chofshiyut of a child, which he calls also the chen of a child, is that they don't have that. When a child's running around, they're not cheshbening out how much koyach am I going to need later to do homework. Like maybe some of us don't end up going and doing something because we already are calculating, but I need strength to then do that, and then I'll have a bad morning or I'll have a lousy afternoon, or the child is not there at all. Now, obviously, the older we get, the more responsibilities we have, of course. But there is something so beautiful about the ability that we see by a child to be in there, to live in that moment, and to not do it as an observer looking from the outside in. And that's been a lot of what we've been discussing in this Ma'amar HaShalom. That in order to mamash have shalom bayis going on inside, there must be harmony between the body and the soul, which allows it to just be here in the moment right now, and don't, bless you, don't go outside of it and look back inside. And we've been talking about this the last few weeks, obviously. Mikan schirat me'oraot hayaldut lechol ha'chaim. Here is where we have memories, childhood memories, for the rest of lives, our lives. And he brings an example of like Yantiv's Mo'adim, Yamim Tovim Babayit, V'chayotze B'zeh, childhood memories. Now, granted, for some people, this actually triggers everything you don't want to remember. Of like, you know, not everything was still nostalgically beautiful around the Shabbos table or the Yontif table in certain homes. When some people think about these things, they actually want them to run out of themselves more than anything. But let's say a child, for the most part, had more or less beautiful, sweet memories. He says, Ki haya ha'ergesh ha'nafshi shalem. Because their experience of their nefesh was shalem, it was complete. B'tachlit ha'chibur. Utmost connection to what? El ha-metziut shehaita b'sha'a ha'i. To the actual reality that was taking place at that time for the child's life. Right? So the child was completely connected, completely mechubar to the moment of whatever they were experiencing. Lelo sechel boger, without, I love how he calls this, without the sechel boger, that means without the adult intellect, hamashve et hachag hazeh el hachag de'eshtekad. Well, what happens to when you, the older you get, the experience you have during a yontiv is like you start comparing it to last, and this happens Seder all the time, or Purim Suda, till hopefully just in the beginning of the Purim Suda. And it can happen also on Shabbos, in Shul, Kabbalah Shabbos. It doesn't matter what I'm experiencing right now, because in my mind, I'm comparing it to what was it like last year? That's one of the biggest amaleks and yetzer haras that could happen to a person. They walk into shul, that the experience that they're about to have is basically just all in comparison to what it was previously, what it was last year. And the height of my experience is only keneged what was labriut. Here he says again, you were fully experiencing what was going on in the moment. What ends up happening is that you start explaining to yourself, giving all these terutzim, listen, it's been a hard year, I can't experience it now like I did last year, and also I know I need koch for later. All the cheshbons that are going on in your mind have nothing to do with what's available for you right now. A child has none of that balagan going on in their mind. A child doesn't go through any of this analysis. What is, is. There's no comparison to what was the previous year. It doesn't matter, they could remember it. I don't think, it's not like he's saying children don't remember anything. It's just that the memory of something has no control over the experience of what's happening right now. It can happen in a shiur too. You could sit in a shiur and you had a very good experience last week, but that dictates to you, it's like, keneged zeh is going to be what's going to be right now in the shiur. Whereas to be able to like come into a shiur completely detached from any expectation of what you felt last week or what you felt yesterday, and to be in it now, we steal from ourselves. We rob from ourselves. Personally, I experience this so often with certain concerts that I remember what it was like the year before. The whole excitement towards it is like, wow, it's going to be like that again. The acceptance of maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to be completely different. What do I know? Who do I know has to receive what? So if I can just strip myself away from any of that chatterbox, because that's a voice from the out. That's the Sechel Boger. That's the higher intellect, Kivyachon. That's not letting me be right now with what could be right now. You know, it's a big bracha because I feel very lucky that in shul, you know, on Friday night, I never more or less think of the previous week. And that's a big, for me personally, that's a big bracha because I, you know, I feel like it's just, it would kill the Shabbos. It would just kill it. If I remember what was the previous Shabbos, then I don't have this Shabbos. I have a mirror of the previous Shabbos. A child that has none of this balagan. A child doesn't go through any of this mishigas at all whatsoever. They're not experiencing something while looking at it from the outside. They have a kesher nafshi shalem, complete with inside. That's why I asked you in the beginning of Shir, can you remember any moment in the last 6 months or a year of your life that you're envious of that moment that you had in your experience? Now, why is it so hard to think of one or two memories like that? But it's so easy to remember a memory of like that of when you were a child, that freedom to just be, because we have it less and less the older we get, which isn't a good thing. It's not a good thing, but just pointing out. Yes, Zahava.
Around what age do you think this?
Oh, just going to ask the same thing.
I don't know. What do you think?
I would say 10. Somewhere between like 8, 10. Yeah, 8 to 10. Like young.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would think.
Because when they get to be teenagers.
Well, as you come to Purim, you really start seeing like with kids when they start like questioning, should I get dressed up? Or, like,
that right. That's
like, before that, they'll do whatever they want, right? They don't care. And then become very conscious about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly the age. I mean, you could think about it for yourself. What age could you go back to and be like, I'm so envious of that person that was completely just immersed in the moment? You know, I don't know. 8, 10, I'm... When?
It's very young.
It's young.
I think it also depends on the person, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was thinking, like, for me, there's actually, I can go back to a certain age, which was like 16, 17, where I was introduced, I was getting into a completely new world that I didn't grow up with, that was filled with spirituality. And I felt like I let myself blow my minds over every concert and class and gathering I would go to. But that's what I always say. I'm always so thankful that I didn't grow up in that world, because it would probably become like that at a younger age had I grown up in that world. Mm-hmm. So because it was Baruch Hashem a Chiddush, therefore, maybe it was more that, but it's true. It depends on age. I don't know.
So each of us could think of a child we know that was like this at the age of 3, and then kids who were unselfconscious until the age of 12. You know, it's
right. The only thing is, the question is, when does it more or less stop for everyone?
The average
of it stopping on a you know, klali level for the rov. I think it's more like. I think by 22 the whole game is over. Mashu kaze. No,
that's old.
I think I think 22 is like zeo and nigmar a mischak hazeh shel lichyot et harega. For some reason, I don't know why. I don't know why it's like this. Bemet, I don't know why. But the point of this ma'amar that we're doing is to put an arrow in that, shoot an arrow into that, and saying ze lo chayav liot kacha. And the avodat ha-nefesh that has to come from the shiurim like this has to be, Ribono Shel Olam, I must get for myself tachbulot, which means hacks and tricks. I have to come up with things that call out when I'm realizing that I'm completely not living in the moment. I'm completely just comparing something to what was, or whatever it is that takes me out from having this chibur shalem shel nefesh. Because Rav Kluger basically he hinted to this to us in the title over here. What produces chen? What produces this? Again, we always say that there's no real explanation for this word. But the ability to fully be present in the moment produces chen. Some people think you're just born with chen or you're not born with chen. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's so much like that. I think there is this possibility. But he's saying over here, of producing chen. So Rabbi Nachman has a long Torah. This is Likutei Maran Aleph, where Rabbi Nachman says, but the chen and the chashivus of Am Yisrael have all fallen and they've been taken by the non-Jewish world. But what brings back a person's chen? Torah. Why? Because the Torah is called Ayelet Ahavim V'Ya'alat Chen. Shema'ala Chen Alomdeha. That when I'm learning, I'm ma'ale chen on the person that's learning is like receiving flow of chen being put on them. Now, why do you think is that based on what we just did right now? Because learning, the utmost of learning is all about now. It's, if you really allow Chazal to take your head and just, you know, surround your head, fill your head and your heart with trying to understand the love letter from Mount Sinai, which is Torah. Basically, Torah Shebaal Peh is trying to decipher the love letter that Hashem gave us on Har Sinai. That's my consciousness while I'm learning Torah. And I'm fully absorbed in it. I'm not looking at myself from the side. And the truth is, there's a mila. There is a mila to when you learn as opposed to when you daven. Usually we hint at, we kind of say the other way. What do we usually say? You know, anyone can learn if you have a good head, but to mamish daven is the highest thing in the world. But listen, when you're in that world of emotions and davening, that's when these thoughts come in and saying, like, who am I fooling? I'm looking at myself. Is this for real? When I'm wrapped in a sugya and I'm losing my moach to be completely absorbed with learning, I don't really go to that same place of observing myself from the outside. I'm much more stuck. I'm much more, in a good way, wrapped into a sugya. I'm less going outside. It's less an experience coming from the outside. It's more in the inside.
Do you just
repeat that pasuk instead of Ayelet? Ayelet Ahavim V'Ya'alat Chen. Why is it called Ya'alat Chen? Shema'ala Chen Alomdeha. So maybe like, it doesn't say Shema'ala Chen Al Mitpalelea. It says that Chen rises up on the person that is learning Torah. Why? Because they're fully, when you're really learning, that's all that's happening. There's nothing else happening. Unless you're learning with your cell phone on your lap. That makes it very hard to really be, you know, completely inside it. Okay, so again, the stuff that I remember that makes me nostalgic, envious, and like even brings out a tear, is when I have memories of myself at any given age. We've already clearly said this happens much more when we're younger. Of, wow, if only I could be free like that. But what does that mean, free like that? When we say, no worries, it's not that there were no worries. There probably were other worries. But the way that I lived life was that I was completely with what was happening at that moment. That's the envy that I have to moments like that. K'mochen, the next paragraph. K'mochen yichukak bezichrono shel Yehudi. כל מאורע בחייו שזכה לחיותו על תארת החיבור למציאות. So Rav Kluger says, but you don't just think this is reserved to childhood. Any moment in your life where you merited living on the purity of being connected to what the reality at that moment, בלא שהייתה לו המחשבה לסרסור שלישי הניצב בפעתיים, without this third party observing and judging and analyzing you, לבלבל דעות בוגרות על ההרגש הטבעי והפשוט והנחשף בתמימות אל מציאות הטוב. Rav Kluger says this happens whenever it is that we have the moments of being able to be right there without looking at ourselves from the outside. Do you know when this happens if we just allow ourselves to make this happen in an adult life? When is a very pivotal time where these things happen, where it can't happen all the time if we just trust it and believe that it's actually something holy? Sichas chaverim. Sichas nefesh. real soul, heart to heart, talks with each other about the real things in life, you're not observing yourself from the outside. When there's a back and forth between two people and they're sharing what's really going on in their heart, good things or bad things, doesn't matter what it is, the real things, whatever it is, when that's back and forth, those are actually moments that bring you to this place of what he calls, I love this language, Teharat Hachibu El Hametziut, living based on the purity of being connected to the reality of right now. When you have Sichas Chaverim, which, you know, in Breslov, Sichas Chaverim is not like a nice optional luxury for people. Sichas Chaverim and Avodat Hashem is just as important as davening, as keeping halacha, as learning. It's like one of the principles of things. One of the principles. In Breslov, it's basically, it's like my nekuda of my chibur to a chaver, my nekuda of my chibur to my Rebbe, and my nekuda of chibur to Hashem. And I need all those threes in the life of someone that's living the life of the Torah of Rebbe Nachman. I need all three. Because really, all of those three moments in its essential beauty bring a person to live al tahara chibur el hametziut, being purely connected fully to the moment right now. The question is, how many people do you have in your life that you could imagine that you could sit and talk to and get lost, but I want to say found, in a conversation that brings you to fully live in that moment? Do you know Reb Leibish Hundert? Have any of you know Reb Leibish? So Reb Leibish is very, very special, and he's an old, dear friend of mine. He was living in Montreal for many years, and he would come back and visit sometimes in the summers in Yerushalayim. Did you guys know him, Ariel?
You had Tisha's
at Shalom House,
right?
At Dresden. Nachon. He's come here many times. We should do something public with him. He's Or V'chein. I don't know what else to call this. This is just a bolt of light and V'chein. Zis. You want to pinch his cheeks, even though he has a huge beard and long pears. But he's a Zis, and he's so such a Ben Torah. He loves. He's a real Ben Torah. Anyway, why am I thinking about him right now? Because on one of the, just shows you how much like those moments where you really forget about the world are the ones that last forever and are so much worth trying to discover where they are. He would come in the summers and he would visit from Yerushalayim, because he was in, he started what's called the Ghetto Shul, I think. That's what it's called. Is that what it's called? In McGill?
It could be. Familiar.
Yeah. I think that was the shul.
You at your concert at Hebrew Academy, right?
Yeah, on saxophone. Nachon, bidiyuk. So, one Motzei Shabbos, I don't remember if I was still living in Yerushalayim or we happened to be in Yerushalayim. I don't remember what it was. But we had a conversation on the corner of Usishkin and Narkis in Yerushalayim. It was just right there. Nachlaot meets Shari Chesed, close to Rechavia, right there. Usishkin and Narkis on a bench. Do you know how often when we look at each other and we talk, we give a code word? Narkis? Usishkin? We'll just say that? Because we both were not, what was happening, it was a sichas nefesh that wasn't planned. It wasn't, this was like, okay, we're going to experience a moment of being kashur to chibur ta'arat ha-metziut. That doesn't work either. It just was just, the love was there, the trust was there, and the ratzon to have a real conversation with somebody was there. The ratzon, the desire to actually speak to someone, hear what's going on with them, and know that you'll be heard. We're still there. It's just years later. We look at each other and we just, and whenever we have another high moment, right? So it's a big sakana, because if it's always in comparison to Narkis, then it's not good. Then that's also not good. But when we're running around and it's not the moment right now to have this moment of flying, having a soul dance with each other at a simcha, we just wink and be like Usishkin Narkis. So Rav Kluger is saying the point of life, the point of an Eved Hashem, is to always be living now in the moment, without yesterday being my slave driver. Now, that would be a nice thing. That would be a beautiful thing. If the person that showed up into this room today is not schlepping anything from yesterday or this morning, just now, that'd be the ultimate. As a child, that's much more natural. That's just more, we show up like that more naturally. Okay? As an adult, for some reason, we show up like that much less naturally. Much less naturally. But it doesn't have to be like that. It could be a whole world of people that understand that that's what it means to be frum. Can you imagine? If when you said the word frum, it had so less to do with outer things, but it had to do with my chibur to the mitziyut of this moment. That is the most beautiful thing in the world. People that have that are very, very happy. The inside happiness, they may not be smiling all day long, but bifnim yesh shlemut, there's shlemut that's going on inside of them. And sometimes you detect it and you're like, that's so beautiful, I want that. What is that? And that's why Rabbi Nachman's Torah is so vital for our door today. Someone just gave me a sefer, a whole sefer called Lichyot et Harega, living the moment, based on all the teachings of Rabbi Nachman and Reb Nassim. It's a beautiful sefer. Maybe we'll learn it. Not maybe, we will learn it. The question is just when. Umikan behirut. So here we get clarity. Next paragraph. Lehavin. Madua chasidim harishonim nizharu tamid milasot esek chitzoni kodem o leachar maisen mitzvah utfila. Okay. Now we're going to understand why chasidim did, what does mean esek chitzoni? What do you think this means? Milasot esek. They made some kind of a deal. They made some kind of a achlata, before davening or after davening, before a mitzvah or after a mitzvah. What do you think he's referring to over here? What was the first thing, one of the first things we learned in this mimer about that speaks about before I start davening, what do I do? What do I say? Does anyone remember? Hareini, hareini mekabel al atzmi, hareini mezamenet pi, hareini, right? And then after davening, I think he's referring also to the Hasidim Rishonim that the Mishnah speaks about, that what would they do for hours before, they would spend a whole hour before davening preparing themselves. And then after davening, they would spend another hour doing what? What was the hour after davening? To connect the Kotzker spent an hour after davening trying to reconfigure his physical existence in this world, right? It's not exactly what we're talking about, huh?
We're not Hasidim. I mean, we're not Hasidim in that way. I'm not. So I don't know what they do, you know.
Tasiri tova. If anyone is, it's you and your family. Are you kidding me? The person that could talk most Hasidus to in this whole show is your husband. What are you talking about?
My husband, yes.
No, he is. Yeah. Only 43
years.
Okay. You're very funny.
Yeah. Take something from the outside. It's like you want to strive to not have to do that, but it's a tool.
It could be a tool. Nachon? That's what we learned last week. Let's see what he says. Mikan beirut. להבין מדוע חסידים ראשונים נזהרו תמיד מלעשות עסק חיצוני קודם ולאחר מעשה מצווה ותפילה. דבקים היו תמיד בעצם מציאות הדבר, בלי דיבורים רבים אודות העניין. They were always very connected to the real reality of whatever they were doing without speaking about it a lot. They wouldn't be like, while they're going through something, do you realize that right now we are, let's tell people that right now we're experiencing something so blissful and beautiful. What's the exact, oh yeah, El, you're going to kill me right now, I realized. I'm not going to say it. But I have to. What could be? No, you're not going to kill me. You know why? No. Actually, you're not. You're not. I'll tell you why. Because it's not actually. It's if you think about what we're going to say, it's not that. When you post Bereish Gale, feeling so-and-so at something, that's different than preserving a picture for family memories. Nachon. So it's good. But speaking, meaning declaring that this is what you're feeling to let people know, for whatever the reason is, this is what you're experiencing and feeling, definitely takes you out of, it definitely is an easier take you out of the moment than being in there. Now, again, to capture it, have it, your child has memories, that's beautiful, just like we said 2 weeks ago. If only I and my sister had, can you imagine, Michal, if we had a videotape of Zadie Shlomo? Can you imagine that? If we had one piece of footage of our grandfather, we only have 3 or 4 pictures of our grandfather, my father's father. How many? 3, 4, 5. We'll do anything in the world, right? Here he's saying, when you're really having that experience to the moment, and Chassidim Rishon would never speak of it. It's not a thing. Why would I want to tamper with it? Why would I want anything to get inside of this experience right now? Chas v'shalom, I want to stay in here forever. Vani eftach bach, I want to be in it always. That's, I think, what he means over here. Dvekim ayu tamid be'etzem b'tzius hadavar bli diburim rabim odot ha'inyan mishum shebikshu lichyot et ha'kdusha. What a line. What a gewalt line. We didn't even, I'm in the middle of the sentence, I didn't even finish it, and I think it's the most mind-blowing sentence. Again, mishum, what were they asking to live? What did they want to live? Mishum shebikshu lichyot et ha'kdusha betaharata. This is a mind-blowing sentence. This is so beautiful. They demanded, what kind of desire of life did they want to live? They wanted to live Kedusha in its purity and in its natural state of being. The way it is and the way they found themselves to be in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's not blowing anyone else's mind. It's such a gewalt line. Just, I mean, I guess I'm not giving it over deep enough. But even in Hebrew, it's
ideal. It's very ideal.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Again, why didn't they speak about these moments of chibur? And why doesn't a child also like go around and tell everybody? You would think they just don't have the seichel to go around and tell people. You know what it is to live like this? It's so wonderful, and the child doesn't think like this. He's saying that a real chassid has some kind of a mishala of the heart. They're connected to the desire of their heart. And they know that what the heart, the kind of life that their heart demands of them to live, is to live a life of holiness. Now, what is the difference between living a life of holiness and life of holiness in its purity and in its natural state of being? What's the difference between the two?
I'm just having an image that might answer it, that our children, at least my children, will surprise me sometimes, and they'll say things that they wouldn't necessarily tell their friends. I don't know if they're embarrassed or it's not cool, but they will talk about something that happened in shul, or a feeling they had at an event in a religious kedusha setting, and the concept of that, they go to their iman abba to say, remember that. And the fact that us as adults can also probably go to our Abba and say, remember that, I want that more, I want that again.
That's beautiful. Alavai, all of us should have those moments.
And I think it's interesting because sometimes, like, you don't even have the thought to share it because you're so in it. So I'm saying the second you have that thought to even share it, you're out of it already.
Nachon.
So I feel like you almost don't have that choice.
Very good. They didn't want to think about it because they didn't want to go out of it.
Right. But I'm saying, so cultivating, like, not even getting to that place of, like, of wanting to, of just cultivating having the ability to just be in it, like, wrap it up, and then, like, I guess, then maybe less and less you have that urge to be, like, you know, like, coming out of it, I guess, I don't know.
Right, because what happens?
Because you're not choosing to make that switch, it just kind of happens.
It just happens.
You're either in it, or it happens, you know, I don't know.
Nachon. Here he's saying to live the life. I'm going to say these words again. They wanted to live a life of Kedusha, but a pure and natural state of Kedusha. Not you could be in states of Kedusha that are very much, you know, consciously accelerated. You know what I mean? Like you, I don't know how to explain this exactly. But
it's also what you think Kedusha is. I mean, you are
100%. Like if someone, did you ever have a moment where you say like, wow, that was such a holy moment, And it had nothing to do with davening, shul, and nothing with anything that the world coins as kaddish. But to you, it was a holy moment. Why? Why was it a holy moment to you? Because you felt at that moment completely one with the experience that you were going through. And it was a good experience. And it was a worthwhile experience. Those are holy moments. Just as the moment is, and however I show up and experience the moment, that's also a big thing. You know, the sometimes this, he's going to get to it, but there's a great example of this by the Piasetzner Rebbe in Tzav Viziruz, where Tzav Viziruz is a diary that he shared, the Ish Kodesh. I think I shared it with you. It was a diary that was written between the years 1929 and 1938. It's not the Ish Kodesh. It's a separate sefer. It's a small sefer at the end of Achsheres Avreichim. And he shares a lot of raw moments. Not just all, look how holy the world is, or look how bad the world is. It's just a lot of raw emotions, like how sad he was at certain points, how elated he was. But one of them has to do with how much he held himself back one time from doing something that would have been so holy, but because he thought about what it would look like, he held himself back from it, and how much pain he has over that. That's at the Piasetzner Rebbe. Look at this. He's going to get to this in a different way. Hadavar efshari biyoto na'asa ba'ofen chai v'tiv'i. When is a person able to live like this? So, in case you didn't understand what it means, spontanish belaav. Spontanish. Ach im machrizim hachraza gdola umarisha shehine omdim lekayem et ha'maaseh hanisgav, azay nasa yehudi mesharet lehachliza, להפיקה אל הפועל, ואינו חי את עצמיותו הפשוטה מקיימת את המצווה, שזה העיקר. If a person in the most non-spontaneous way proclaims, I am going to have a holy experience right now, you become a complete slave to that statement, and you don't have them of what the thing is itself at all. Kids, it's Shabbos now. No one fights. Exactly. I think, did I say it here or which year? Do you remember our experience in the before Tiferet was born? Did I say it this year? Yeah? Why, Matityahu said it over? Yeah. I remember this very clearly. We went to the Carmel.
Yeah.
And I remember what we noticed in the lobby and in the exercise room.
It was like young,
it was spontaneous.
Working so hard on being Zen.
Yeah. Trying so hard to be relaxed.
Amash, in the lobby, they're walking around the self-help books. They were on the treadmill. Even that was like, this is what we're doing right now. And at dinner also, I remember like just the whole thing with people, a bunch of people that proclaimed that this is what's going to be, and working really hard. And there's bichlal not that. Bichlal not that. So look what he says here. Kach em pnei advarim. Kasher Yehudi ose peula tiv'it, sheyesh lachen amiti. When a Yid does a natural action that has real chen. Okay, this is important because it goes back to the beginning of this paragraph. When a Yid does something that's a natural thing, and the more natural something is, the more chen the thing has. Chen. We have to find a new word in English for chen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not charm.
It's biblical words.
It's yeah, not it's not. It's not Greek.
It's not Greek. Authenticity. Yeah. I mean, chen is connected to a child. Yeah,
not well. That's the sad thing. It shouldn't just be connected to a child, but it is.
It naturally.
But that helps you.
Oh, that helps them define. Yeah. Natural, mm-hmm. Authentic. Alignment, I don't know. So he says, every peulat tiv'it, when I do it, and I'm in it, without trying, those are the things that are mafikim chin. And really, that's why we say, I think, the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, because when I'm really learning, and I'm learning, and I'm in it, and I'm really in it with the consciousness that I am learning for one reason. Because Hashem at one time spoke to Am Yisrael, and he said, I'm putting my soul in these words. Come and beseech me. Come and seek me out. That's why I'm learning. If that remains my consciousness while I'm learning Torah, any halacha, any parsha. Listen, Parshas Pekudei is a very hard parsha to get excited about. Let's face it, very hard. But if I'm realizing, but Hashem said, I put my soul into this, and I'm completely wrapped in it, with that type of consciousness, and I'm doing it so naturally, Chen comes up. Kegon Ka'ashe, he says, when is another time where Chen comes up? And I'm acting this naturally. Kegon Ka'ashe Ola Simcha Al Gedot Libo. If sometimes, do you remember the last time you were overcome with joy to the point, Umirakid Lefeta Betzura Mesuyemet Shelo Alta Al Da'ato Kodem Lachen? When was the last time you were so overcome with joy to the extent that it caused you to start to boogie or to start to break into a dance that was completely spontaneous? Right, maybe that. Do you hear what he just said right now? When was the last time that you broke out in a dance? No, but not... Not plant, meaning
no, not plant.
You just wanted to dance.
I was babysitting my 2.5-year-old in the car, and all of a sudden, like, we went to this Stevie Hart, and then all of a sudden it was like, boom, you know, you're dancing.
Give up.
I was walking the dog, and suddenly was overcome with joy that I have the zchut to be living here and walking these hills, and it's Adar, and I have to be the Simcha, and yeah, so.
You started dancing?
Yeah.
Yeah? That's unbelievable.
Amazing.
That's awesome.
No, like, otherwise I would lose my mind.
No, but that's exactly.
Like little moments.
Recognize how special that is. Not,
I'm discovering over this year that that's special, and I thought everyone did it.
Thank you. That's like the.
You have a friend.
Yeah.
When we were living in Los Angeles, every time I answered the door to him, he was dancing and playing guitar. And I'm like, my brother has very weird friends, but I understand it. I don't know. I don't remember his name. He had long pants, just always playing guitar when I answered the door and smiling the simcha.
Yeah.
And now I understand that he's very present.
Adam Silver. Yeah.
Yes.
Adam Silver.
Wow.
Yeah. It's also the name of the NBA commissioner, but you know that's his name, Adam Silver. Yeah.
Wow.
See, that those people, we have such, I have such envy towards those people that are, it's not, but this is the thing. It's not that you think sometimes they're just doing a bedavka to show that they don't care about the world. No, it's not, those chavra tick me off. Bemet. It's the dafkaniks to make a point that I don't care what you think of me. I'm also jealous of that to a certain extent, but that's not what we're speaking about here.
Huh? The second one has a little,
yeah, it's not so TV. That's really the word. It's not so chenedik either. It's
right.
Here he's speaking about, listen, the example the Pia Setzner Rebbe gave was about doing a somersault in the middle of davening. The Pia Setzner Rebbe, to do a somersault, you know what it would look like? But you know when this happened? You know what? This is a gevalt. It says when the Gemara in Sukkah, "Mi shelo ra'a simcha bet ha'sheva lo ra'a simcha miyamav," right? That was the greatest simcha, the greatest joy in the world. So if it's the greatest joy in the world, it's probably the greatest tarata, living in the moment in the world. Do you know what the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, his Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, do you know what he would do? It says that he would do a kidah. Now in modern Hebrew, kidah is curtsy. Can you say it? Take a curtsy thing? That's kad kida. In the Rashi explains to us what it is. We learned this once, is that he would stand on his thumbs. He would do a headstand, balancing himself on his thumbs. Can you imagine if, not today, but like if 10 years ago, Rabbi Riskin would come in and decide to do this, right? I actually could, but imagine the Rabban Shimon ben the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, it must have come from a place of Simcha Poretzet Gede, right? I'm living al taras hakodesh of what's happening right now. It's not like every year they were like, he like did hachanas, he was like, he was doing a practicing of headstands, you know, for like weeks coming up, and like he had to take a break on Yom Kippur, then he went back to the practicing on Yud Aleph Tishrei, because he knew, first night of Chol HaMoed is, no, Rav Kluger is saying over here, kegon asher, כאשר עולה השמחה הגדות ליבו, הוא מרקד לפתע בצורה מסוימת שלא עלתה על דעתו קודם לכן.
It's not planned.
Not planned. It's not planned. It's not...
Miriam HaNeviah that took the...
Sorry?
It's like Miriam HaNeviah that took the drum after Shirat HaYam and started dancing in
But that's a little bit different because she planned it. Which is also a very high level of Nevuah because there it shows that the women had bitachon that it would happen. So it's a little bit different, נכון. אך, אם יש בצדדי המחשבה צד שלישי, but if there's this third party that comes into this way of thinking, you're going to stop yourself. You're not going to dance. ימנע עצמו מכך ויעצור מלהיות טבעי. You're going to prevent yourself from actually being natural. Oy, can't be what Hashem had in mind when he thought of creating human beings. To find ways to prevent yourselves from being natural. משום שזוכר, שמחר ישוב לשלוותו. He says, because tomorrow I'm not going to be tripping over the fact that it's other and I'm walking my dog in Eretz Yisrael. Right? And then what? ואז יבוש, I'll be embarrassed במילתא דשטותא שעשה היום מרוב שמחה וחיות. And then I may be embarrassed when I walk past that person. You know, it's funny, you know, we always speak about like the look in the eyes between people on the day after Purim. Yeah. Right? Ever so, because, you know, that. Hamachar hazeh, that tomorrow, he says, Hu aguf hashlishi, haotzer behayom. This tomorrow stops today, vechonek et nevi'uto. And it chokes, okay, nevi'uto. It's sprouting. It's sprouting. Ach kaamur, hachem ha-yafe she-yelet taho. But the beautiful chen of a pure child, or mevugar, ha-poel b'tiviyut ve-emet, or an adult that's operating with nature and truth, ba al yedei heyot ha-adam mechubal u-melukad kulo im atzmiyuto, bli chishuvei min ha-tzad. Rav Kluger is saying, the point of all this learning that we're doing in this ma'amar is that it's so worthwhile. It's so worthwhile to end up coming to a state of living that's just natural. It's so worthwhile of living a life that you don't look back and say, I have 20 years of regret that I stopped myself, that my thought about tomorrow choked my today, or that my yesterday choked my today. How is that so? That people can look back at their life and they'd be like, wow, for all the right reasons, for all kivyachol, the holy reasons, they had to hold on and prevent themselves from the hayom, from being fully in a day like today, living in a day, living with the tarat ha-metziyut, the chibur el hayom. Okay, we're going to stop here, and I want us to do something very important. This is very important because next week is going to be Tainis Esther. We're going to do a special shiur for Tainis Esther. It's going to be next Thursday morning. But the week after that is going to be even a crazier exercise based on the end of this ma'amar. A very hard one. It's going to be a harder one. But today you have 2 weeks, more or less, to have this. And Purim is a very easy time to tune into what I'm going to ask you. I want you to, at the end of every day, okay, at the end of every day of these next 2 weeks, Bemet, this would be like taking the learning and making it so much more real. If you can reflect on your day, don't think about this during the day, by the way, because then you're already out of it. Don't think about what I'm going to say during the day. But at the end of the day, and now you're going to think about it during the day. Hopefully life is so busy. No, life is busy now. Purim, war, there's plenty of stuff to take us out of what I'm going to say right now. But if every night before you say Shema Yisrael, say, ah, in Shir we were asked to think of trying to go back to the day I had and say one moment of being envious and happy about the experience of living like this, you know, for one moment during the day. Do you understand what I'm asking you to do?
I'm experiencing a moment that of connection.
Of fully bateva, bativiyut. That's the thing, that's the word you gotta keep on. Bativut, chibur el akdusha betivyut ubetahara. Right? Betivyut ubetahara. Now, but I'm talking about moments that are connected to kedusha, obviously. Right? I'm not saying you go to sleep and be like, when was I just fully living in the moment? You know, that Netflix binge was so, I was just, that's what I'm talking about. Right? I'm talking about the way we developed it in the shir, okay? All right. Good Shabbos, everyone. Besorot Tovot.
Thank you. What is this?